Lord be with you. Lord, indeed and in truth, when we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, our richest gain we count but loss, and indeed we pour contempt on all our pride. Gracious Lord, we lay ourselves bare before you in great expectation of your living word. And as we come tonight in this journey of 40 days, in this journey of penitence, reflection, Spirit Divine, descend upon us afresh. Spirit Divine, fill us with your grace. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us in the living echoes of your word. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the people say, living amen. Those of us who are occupying this role, please come forward. Come forward. Just move forward. Those of you at the back, move forward. Move forward. Forward ever, backward never. This is a season of Lent, so you must move forward. Your marriage will move forward. Your business will move forward. Your family will move forward. Your health will move forward. For everyone who is obeying, as I'm declaring it, it will begin to manifest. It will begin to manifest. So if I am you, I will move forward. Leave the back seat and move forward. Move forward. Forward ever for you and your family. You are never, never, never going to be left behind. In this Ash Wednesday, and as from today, the issue of backness is canceled in your life. If that is your portion, move forward. Doctor, my optometry, move forward. Leave that back seat, move forward. Come to the front. You know, you are the person I'm talking to. What are you doing at the back? What is the lamb? What is the lamb? The Lord is good. And I just want you to shake the person beside you and say to him, welcome to the Association of Frontliners. Association of Frontliners. Don't you know that if the grace is coming, it will get to the people in the front first? Don't know what you are doing at the back. What is the lamb? What is the lamb? I want to congratulate every one of you for being alive. The best thing that God has given us is the gift of life. And for that, we are grateful. We thank God that we are alive. Our hymn says, and yet we are alive to see each other's face. And yet are we alive. Indeed, it is gratifying to give praise to God Almighty, who has kept us and preserved us to this time. My prayer is that this will not be the last Ash Wednesday in your life. This one will not be the last Ash Wednesday in your life. You will celebrate more of it in the name of Jesus. In good health, in prosperity, in blessing, in favor, so shall it be in Jesus' name. This is a period that calls us to repentance. A period of deep reflection. The service from now, it's a service of sober reflection. And that sober reflection is not only expected to be physical, but it is also expected to be seen in our relationship with God. It is a period of grace, a period of mercy, depending on the way you accept it. The book of Joel gives a comprehensive summary of everything about this period. All we need to know, the importance. In fact, it gives an insight into all we know we need to know about Ash Wednesday and this period. But the question is, who is the prophet Joel? The prophet Joel is regarded in the Bible by theologians as one of the minor prophets, and a prophet which we call the post-exilic prophet. Post-exilic prophet, that is, when the children of Israel returned back to exile, he was one of those that God inspired to tell the children of Israel the mind of God, what God actually wants them to do. The word Joel in Hebrew simply means Yahweh is God. And he spoke the mind of God to them the way the Lord sent him. He gave them back accordingly, in accordance with God's purpose and will. If you have your Bible, let's go back to the second reading, which gives a deep reflection about the totality of this period we are talking about. Joel chapter 2, I will take it verse by verse, and I'll do what is called dissecting it to our understanding. Joel chapter 2, from verse 12, it says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Earlier, before now, there was what we call religious apostasy in the camp of the Israel. Very prevalent. Religious apostasy was an order of a lifestyle. The worship of other gods. The worship of multiple gods. And so there was a clarion call that the Lord had to send his prophet to the people and said, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Turn to me with a sincere heart so that I can look upon you with favor." And the Lord said in verse 13, "Render your heart and not your garment." All I need is your heart. Render your heart. It is your heart I need. I don't longer take delight in hypocritical worship. Hypocritical worship will take you nowhere. But I need your heart. Give me your heart. Rend your heart at this time and not your garment. Don't come and fulfill all righteousness of religiosity without godliness. Religious activities without godliness. Someone once said that Nigerians are very, very religious, but they are not godly. And being godly means internalizing righteousness and living by holiness. And so the Lord was telling the children of Israel through the prophet Joel, "I have had enough of your religiosity, devoid of godliness. I've had enough of your hypocritical worship. What I want is that you rend your heart unto me. Give me your heart and not your garment, not your style of worship, but a heart that is filled with righteousness, a heart that is connected to God, a heart that bleeds for the Lord, a heart that yearns for the Lord, a heart that is full of commitment and dedication in righteousness." One thing that has brought us thus far as a nation, somebody once said that Nigeria is heading to become like Venezuela, a country that has so much wealth, but there is what we call intense starvation there right now. One of the things that has brought us thus far is corruption, insincerity, hypocrisy, lies, a life of religiosity without godliness. And the Lord said to the children of Israel, I no longer take pride in your religious lifestyle, but what I want is your heart. It says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in kindness. And the Lord told the prophet Joel, tell the priest, tell them, tell the priest in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people and sanctify the congregation. And today, we are here to consecrate this congregation. We are here to consecrate this congregation. It says, blow a trumpet in Zion as we are making a clarion call. Making a clarion call to you all that you consecrate yourself, consecrate your life, and depart from sin and iniquity. One thing is that messages like this are no longer popular in our generation. They will tell you, if you preach this type of message, then you cannot get people in the church. Well, God, the one who has called us, we must be truthful to him. We will not tell you what you want to hear. We will tell you what you don't want to hear, because we must speak the mind of God to you. And I want to assure you, if you open your heart to the reality of this message, your life can never remain the same again. Your life can never remain the same again. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify them. Our hymn says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them do what? Flow in ceaseless praise. It says, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babe. Let the bridegroom go out of his chambers and the bride from her dressing. Let the priest minister to the people, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, oh God, spare your people, and do not give the heritage of your people to reproach. Our prayer is that God will not give the heritage of Nigeria to reproach. My prayer for you is that God will not give the heritage of this country to reproach. In the mighty name of Jesus. Some of us in the 70s and in the 60s, we recall when you take that coin, they call it Toro. Toro, it is yellow in nature. We'll take it to the market. There is nothing you will not buy in this same country. You buy fish, you buy everything. People like Mama Oga can testify to this. And Saoji. Is that this is the same country that you cannot even use 5,000 naira to cook a pot of soup now. God, do not let the heritage of this country go into oblivion. Redeem our country, O Lord. May Nigeria never become Venezuela. In the mighty name of Jesus. O Lord, arise in your mercy and redeem our nation. And redeem our nation. Redeem our nation. Redeem our nation. From starvation, redeem our nation. From hunger, redeem our nation. From suffering, redeem our nation. From unemployment, redeem our nation. In this period, redeem our nation, O Lord. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn away from their wickedness, I will hear and heal the land. This land needs healing. It needs healing. Healing for the sake of the youth, not for the sake of the elders, those who have corrupted themselves and stolen our money. Healing for the sake of the young ones. Oh Lord, arise. and have mercy upon our nation. It says, let them say, spare the people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations to rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is our God? God will never abandon us. And the result of gathering the people, calling for a holy fast, is that God will now become zealous for the nation. Verse 18, it says, then the Lord will be zealous for his land. May the Lord become zealous for this land. Oh Lord, deliver this land. Deliver this land from poverty. Deliver this land from reproach. Deliver our nation from suffering. Deliver us from hunger. In the mighty name of Jesus. That is what we are called to do. To pray for our nation in this period of fasting. It's a period of penance. A period of reflection. A period of renewal. A period of rededication. A period of reconvenanting with God and self-evaluation. A period to cry for mercy. Oh, God will have mercy upon you. God will have mercy upon you. The spiritual benefit of this is that when we draw near to God, we prevail over the forces of life. I am not talking about hypocritical worship. I'm talking about sincerity in worship. It says, draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded person. It is a period for us to purify ourselves and to draw near to God. And let me tell you, if you do it sincerely, if you tap into this period with sincerity, your life will change. Amen? I am not sermonizing you. I am telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. If you do it sincerely, you depart from sin and you cling to the Lord in righteousness and holiness, every mountain in your life will crumble. Mountain of unemployment will crumble. Mountain of marital failure will crumble. Mountain of rejection will crumble. It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It has never failed. It is as constant as the rising of the sun. I bet you. And if you do it, if it doesn't, you don't see the reality, call me a liar. I put it to you. If you do it and you don't see the evidence, then call me a liar. But I know that the God we serve never tells lies. Your life will never remain the same. Your health will never remain the same. This fasting will help you to know the mind of God and it will strengthen your hands. Acts chapter 13 verse 2 to 3 says, while they were worshiping God and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. After fasting and doing what? That dead business, that dead marriage, that obstinate child, when you truly reconcile with God, and the bishop must not lay his hand. It's not compulsory that you can do it yourself. Especially when you imbibe the virtues of holiness and righteousness in this period, there is nothing you lay your hands upon that it will not prosper. You become a wonder to your world. I tell you, a wonder to your world. You begin to do things that is extraordinary. And that is why God is calling you to repentance at this time. Fasting and prayers requires that we purify our heart, purify our thought, purify our soul, purify our body, consecrate your life for the services of God, so that that life will be useful. It will be useful. The truth of the matter is that if you don't consecrate that life to God, even you yourself, you cannot be useful to yourself. That is the truth. Because it says, apart from me, you can do what? You can do nothing. So that means the moment God is out of your life, you are absolutely useless. No matter the level of education you have acquired. No matter the status. And that is why let's utilize this period to purify our hearts, purify our thoughts, purify our bodies. Consecrate yourself to the use of the masters. Romans 6 verse 13 says, do not present your members to sin as instrument for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Romans 6, 13. Dearly beloved, the summary here is that God is calling us to repentance. God is calling us to a life of restoration. He's calling us to a life of purposefulness. He's calling us to a life of new beginning. My prayer, Lord, in your mercy, Lord, in your mercy, Lord, in your mercy, Lord, in your mercy, may this period don't pass us by. May this period do not go in vain in our lives. May this period bring in peace, blessings, favor, grace, restoration, abundance, turning around upon our life. That is my prayer, O Lord. Hearken to the voice of your servant for this congregation, and let it be so. Therefore, this day we will consecrate you. That palm tree, palm front, that we use on the day of Palm Sunday, we have burnt it. We are going to consecrate it. We are going to add olive oil to it, and we will use it as a mark upon you. Anybody who confronts you confronts devil. Anybody who confronts you will be utterly destroyed. Anyone who stands against you, heaven will stand against them. You are set apart for signs and wonders, and the hands of the Lord will be upon you. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please don't clap, don't clap, don't clap. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, you are the author of your word. And I've given your word the way you have sent it to me. Let these lives be delivered from the shackles of darkness, from the hands of wickedness. Preserve these lives, O Lord, and do what no man can do for them. Lord, I pray that this season will not pass them by. And as we come to commune with you, Lord, I pray that your healing stream will stretch out upon these ones. Marriages will be healed. Sicknesses will disappear. Everyone will come to the restoration of your glory. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.